God, thank God for Ella getting saved. Bless the Lord. I agree with Brother Ralph. Amen. Take it outside unless it's cold. Amen. Yeah, here's water. Praise God. Amen. That's it. Well, Psalms 91, you find your place. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Psalms 91. I might read more scripture than some of you have read in a month, but would you bear with me in a lengthy portion of Bible reading tonight? Verse number one, the Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Fathers, we bind the presence of sovereignty again tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit that's in God's house tonight. Thank you for the good report of Ella getting saved. There are others in our midst and, Lord, in our families, in our lives that need to be saved by the grace of God. I pray you deal with them. I pray you convict them. I pray you draw them tonight. And I pray they'd get saved for the glory and the grace of God. Help us, Lord, as we study the secret place tonight. And we'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. The Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I like what verse 2 said. It said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I just simply want to preach on this subject tonight, the secret place. Hey, brother, I believe it's one of the most neglected areas of our lives is the secret place. Now, I'm not going to say much by way of introduction about the context of this psalm, but maybe we'll get enough of it through the message that you'll understand what's going on in our text tonight. Beloved, I believe if you study your Bible any length of time at all, you'll come to the same conclusion I have, that we've got a call to pray. Amen. It's our responsibility to call on God. And neighbor, it's wonderful to get in the secret place and get where God's at and have God's presence and have God's touch. Now, there's three things by way of introduction tonight. First of all, in the secret place, we'll find out that the name of God will always be exalted. God's name is mentioned four times in the first two verses. He's referred to as the Almighty. He's referred to as the Most High. He's referred to as the Lord. And he is referred to as God. That is four different names that God is referred to. And neighbor, you ever get in the presence of God, amen, in the secret place, and it'll be in your heart to exalt the name of God and to lift up the name of God. It's one thing to exalt him in public. It's one thing to exalt him in church. But when ain't nobody else looking, ain't nobody else watching, and you go to praising God and lifting up the name of God in the secret place, neighbor, business is fixing to pick up. Now, these four names, if you look at it in the Hebrew, you got Most High, that's Elah. You got Almighty, that's Shaddai. You've got the Lord, that's Jehovah. And then you've got God, that's Elohim. Brother, these names will be exalted. But then number two, the nature of God will be exposed to us when we get in the secret place. If you want to know more about God, read your Bible and get in the secret place. And get around where God's at. His nature will be exposed to us. But then the need of man will be expressed, and then it will be supplied. Aren't you glad we've got a God that supplies our every need? He don't always give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. And brother, God is a need-supplying God. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm glad we've got a God that'll take care of us all the way from here to glory, that God would supply our needs. You got a need tonight? Anybody in here got a real legitimate need tonight? Then get along with God and get your help in the secret place. Amen. I love praying with the brethren. I love going over the camp and praying with the brethren on the altar, praying for the meetings. I love coming and praying with the men on the altar. And I love coming to the prayer room. But there ain't no substitute, amen, for getting along with God all by yourself and calling on God. He supplies the needs. You need joy, he'll give it to you. You need peace, he'll give it to you. You need grace, he'll give it to you. You need mercy, he'll give it to you. In the secret place, God supplies our needs. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of liberty in here tonight. I'm gonna try to preach quick, but I ain't gonna make no promises. All right. Amen. They got to laughing at me today and said, You got a lot to say on the first two points. And Gracie and Elizabeth was talking to me about that. Didn't bother me, didn't offend me. I said, I'll show them two tonight. So I loaded this one up on the last part of the message. Amen. Hey, brother, so y'all better hang on and take notes, girls. And brother, I tell you, boy, the secret place. It's wonderful, isn't it? First of all, let's study the person that is seeking this place. Amen. Verse number one. Look at the first word. It said he. It didn't say they. It said he. You know what that tells me? That tells me the person that would seek God in secrecy is going to be in the minority. Old Charles Spurgeon said it like this. He said, many a people stand in the outer court and they stand in the inner court, but very few ever make it into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat is and where the blood is and where the seraphims are. He said, very few make it. Amen. But I tell you right now, if you can get cleaned up in that outer and inner court and you can get up in there, up where the mercy seat is, hey, the veil's been rent. We've got access. We're not Old Testament believers. We're New Testament believers tonight, and we've got access into the presence of God. Hallelujah. The person that's doing the seeking, sad to say, even as a good a church as God's blessed us with, and I'm not going to stand up and beat you over the head or falsely accuse anybody, but you know as well as I do, the majority of people know nothing about secret praying. And so secret praying, it ain't just for the minority, but it seems like the minority. And I'm not talking about your race. I'm talking about your heart, your thirst, your hunger for God. Oh, that God would help all of us to have a secret place every day of our life. Amen. But then we seek him as a minority. If you're looking to be popular, we're looking to win the fame contest. If you're looking for the patch on the back, you're not going to get it in a secret place. If you're looking for your name to be broadcast and put up in the limelight, it ain't going to happen in the secret place. But if you want a touch and a breath from another world, then go to the secret place. And that's what God will do for you. Amen. Seek him as a minority tonight. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Get in the secret place. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying. Get in the secret place. But then nextly tonight, we need to seek him as Moses. Now, there are four different schools of thought on who wrote this text. Amen. Some say it was David. Some say it was Isaiah. Some say it was Hezekiah. But neighbor, when I read these verses, and I'm not going to argue with you, and I'm not even going to be dogmatic about who I believe wrote this chapter. But I see Moses from one end of this chapter out to the other. I see Moses. He said, any plague should come nigh thy dwelling, I see them as they put the blood over the doorpost. Amen. And death passes by. And brother, no plague came nigh their dwelling that was covered by the blood. All I see Moses up on the cleft of the rock. As you read the verses, that's what we seek him as Moses. And we get along with God. And we get where God's at. And somebody ought to say like Moses did, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. The second time that Moses went up on the mountain with God, that's what he said. Out of all the things that Moses could ask for, he asked for God to show him his glory. Don't you want to see the glory of God? Guess where Moses was when he asked God that favor? He was in the secret place of God. Amen. Where to seek him is Moses. He spent time alone with God. Moses, the prayer warrior. Moses, the supplicator. Moses, the intercessor. And Moses, the giver of thanks. I've been meditating on the difference between prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks here lately. And beloved, hear me tonight. Prayer's talking to God. Amen. Supplication is asking God for the needs, and intercession is praying for others. And then you've got giving of thanks. Do I need to explain that? When's the last time you got on your knees and didn't ask God for anything, but you just said, Lord, today I want to thank you. I want to thank you for everybody and everything. I want to thank you for being good to me and kind to me. Oh, glory to God, that God would help us to pray in the secret place and get victory for the glory of God. Now, my favorite thing about Moses and his prayer life, you're to study Moses in his prayer life sometimes. And Dalton, do you remember over there when Moses was on the mountain with God 40 days and 40 nights? Amen. And God told Moses, you need to get down. Them people down there, they're worshiping idols. They go down there and brother old Joshua said, boy, they're shouting and sound like there's something going on down there. Moses said, they ain't shouting a victory. That's a crowd partying and they're living it up. Amen. And Joshua, amen, or not Joshua, rather, Aaron had taken and threw some gold in a fire and out came a calf. He molded it and made it and fashioned it with his own hands, learned how to do it in Egypt. Amen. Then God's got his sword, just got his hand on his sword, fixing to kill the whole crowd. And you know what Moses did? He stood forth and he said, Lord, he said, if you're going to blot them out of the book, then blot my name out of the book. And you know the only thing that stood between them and death that day was Moses. I like Moses as a picture of Christ and the typology, but I really like Moses in his reality. Now, I want every one of y'all to listen to me tonight. Amen. There were those of you in here tonight. You have never been born again. If you were to die right now, you'd go to hell without God. And do you know the only thing that's kept you alive is some praying mama and some praying daddy that said, God, don't send them to hell. Let them live long enough to be saved by the grace of God. And God heard some intercessor's prayer, and you're still alive tonight. And you're not burning in hell. You ought to thank God for that. That night I got gloriously born again. I walked in that church that night. They went back to the prayer room. You know what they said? They said, John Morgan's here. Let's pray God will save him. And brother, they stood between me and the flames of hell and the judgment of God. And they said, Lord, would you please save him? I'm about to get my glory up in here tonight. I don't know if God's moving down there like he is up in here. But thank God somebody called my name. Thank God somebody got in the secret place and prayed me out of harm's way. Thank God that God heard somebody's prayer. Don't tell me the secret place don't matter. Don't tell me it don't work. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for the secret place tonight. Oh, amen. We ought to seek him as Moses did, with the importance and the seriousness of our prayers being brought before God. Amen. But not only that, but we ought to seek him on our memories. What do you mean seek him on your memories? Oh, brother Moses wrote this after he had been on the mountain with God. Amen. Moses didn't write this while he was there. This was a memory in the heart of Moses. Amen. Boy, do we have some memories tonight of God answering prayer? Could you go back and tell me you got in your prayer closet and seen God answer your prayers? I've seen God in the last 2.5-3 months. Hey, man, people get on an altar, ask God to save somebody. They get under conviction, get on the same altar, and get saved that night. Never hear me. He's a prayer answering God. Don't forget the prayers God's answered. Don't forget what God's done in the past. Thank God for the secret place. Now, look here. Somebody told old Brother Willard Thomas one time, they said, Brother Willard, you just living in the past. All you do is talk about the past. Old Brother Willard, he was a great poet. He wrote a lot of good poems. If you can get your hands on any book that Brother Willard Thomas wrote with poems, you get it, it'll bless your heart. And Brother Nathan, he wrote a poem. They told him that, and he got to thinking about it. He wrote a poem. The theme of the poem was this. He said, I'm not living in the past. The past is living in me. Hey, man, you can laugh at us, mock us all you want to, but we've had revival meeting after revival meeting where God met with us, and prayer meeting, amen, and camp meeting, and youth meeting, amen, and times all we had was a place to pray, and God came. That's a memory that ought to revive us and stir us up for the glory of God. Hallelujah to God. We ought to seek him with our memories. We ought to seek him as a man. everybody had ever got in the presence of God. I don't care if it was New Testament, Old Testament, if it was Moses, Solomon, David, Abraham, Isaac, every one of them were men. At their best, they were men. They wasn't perfect, they were men. The Bible said that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed again. He prayed and God shut the heavens up for 3.5 years, and the Bible said that he prayed again. I believe that's one of the greatest things that could be said about Elijah tonight, is that he prayed again. Could we say that about me? Could we say that about you, that we prayed again? Well, God didn't answer my prayer today, I will pray it again tomorrow. God didn't answer it tonight, pray it again in the morning. Brother, we got prayers. Hey, but what about Ella getting saved? Praise God, we've been praying about that one for years, and then God answered the prayer. Don't give up. There may be a miracle in the making for you tonight. Oh, glory to God. You may be one more prayer away from your husband getting right, or your wife getting right, or your children getting right, or God fixing something for you. Don't quit praying. Now, I'm trying my best to stay focused tonight, but you can forget it. If it's preaching's like burping tonight, whatever comes up's going to come out, honey. Amen to God. Brother, I tell you right now, he's a prayer answering God. I say, blessed be the name of God. I say, hallelujah to God. Why in the world we waste our time not calling on God? Amen. Lord, I'm just a man. Yeah, so am I. Amen. And ladies, we'd use that as a generic term. We're all humans. And boy, you can get in the presence of God. I know God didn't call me to preach. He didn't have to. I don't lead to singing. You don't have to. I'm not a Sunday school. I'm not talking about preaching or leading singing. I'm not talking about being a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about born again believers making a place all by yourself and talking to God. Amen. Am I right when I say that is one of the most neglected areas in our Baptist churches, is our personal private prayer time? Amen. Thank God we're to seek him in the presence of God. So we're seeking a meeting with God. I'm not seeking a meeting with Trump, and I'm not sure enough ain't seeking a meeting with that liberal Democrat called Biden. Say amen right there. Amen. I ain't seeking a meeting with him. I went to the courthouse today, and our congressman's got an office up there, and I thought, when did I let that happen? Amen. And I didn't even knock on his door. I just walked right by it. I wasn't interested in seeing him. Amen. I got a few of them I've been praying for, and I got a bone to pick with a couple of them. When I run into them, I'm going to talk to them a little bit. But that ain't what I'm looking for. I'm looking to meet with God. Amen. And when we lay our responsibilities and turn your phone off and turn the television off, and God, amen, and get out there where God's out. I'm looking for a meeting with God. The secret place. Boy, it's wonderful, ain't it? Amen. Oh, boy, he said he, that's the person that's singing. Then he said he that dwelleth. Let's study point number two tonight. Amen, that's a plan to stay. Hey, I like that word dwelleth right there. He even uses the word abide. Amen, in our text tonight. He said, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen, that's a plan to stay. That means, you know what that word dwelleth means? It means to set up residence. You know what that word abide means? It means to lodge. It means to pass the night. Do we spend enough time in the secret place to be considered a resident? Could we put our mailbox up there if they wanted to deliver our mail? Amen. Oh, you'll find them in the secret place. Probably not. But brother, I tell you, there ought to be a plan to stay. Amen to God. Amen. Living in the secret place, just as we're faithful to live in our own homes. Amen. We should be faithful to the secret place. Brother, I've got a place at my house. I've got a parking place. I've got a place at the head of the table. I've got my place in the bed. I've got my place in the bathroom. I've got my place on the couch. But do we have a place in the presence of God where we frequent often and we can't wait to get there? And when we do get there, that we want to stay for the glory of God. Living in the secret place. And nextly, boy, I like this one, love in the secret place. Do you love to pray? Now, the flesh don't love to pray. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Before we got saved, there's one of us. Now that we're saved, there's two of us. There's the old man, there's the new man. And Paul said he delighted after the law of God, after the inward man. There's the inner man. That's the same thing as the inward man and the hidden man of the heart. I think I testified about that the other night around here. But brother, I'm going to tell you, that inward man, that part of you that wanted to come to church tonight, that's the part you need to feed. That part that wants to read the Bible, that's the part you need to feed. Amen. That part that wants to pray, that's the one you need to listen to. That one that says, oh, you can pray tomorrow, you tell that rascal to shut up, all right? That part that said, I'll read your Bible, you've read enough of it in your life, you tell him to be quiet and shut up. That part that says, nah, don't give him a tract, you'll be embarrassed and get rejected, don't listen to him. But that one that says, go for it, I pray, read, witness, and worship, that one that says, testify, that's who you ought to be listening to. And brother, I tell you, that inward man loves to commune with God, and we dare not starve the inward man, the shade part of us. We dare not starve him from communion with God. Amen. Oh, there's loving it. But then there's learning in the secret place. I tell you what, you'll learn some things in prayer you won't learn anywhere else. Somebody say amen right there. Brother, I tell you what, you'll learn these lessons learned in prayer. Amen. We'll first of all learn of his faithfulness tonight. Amen. I've never sincerely went to the secret place and God not be there. He is faithful. Is that not right? And but you know it's right. And sometimes, amen, and I hate it's like this, and I'll be the first one. I'll take the bullet tonight. I'll take one for the team tonight. Brother, I tell you, I have got to, not to be a victim, not to be a martyr, not for you to feel sorry for me, but sometimes we have got to emphasize our own unfaithfulness, to exalt his faithfulness. And like old brother Mark Wheeler said it to this, I've not always been faithful, but thank God he has. Amen. Ain't always been faithful to pray, but he's always been faithful to ask me to and to bid me come to his throne and come to his presence. It's always been a call and always been a drawing. He'd been faithful to come by in the midnight hour and tell me you need to pray and to call on God. And oh, God, help us to be faithful. We learn of the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. Then we learn of his fortress. We'd read later on in the verses. I'm not going to labor this one. I'll mention more of it here in a minute. We can learn of his feathers. It's in the text. We can learn verse number 4. The Bible said, under his wings shalt thou come to, shalt thou trust. Brother, we learn to trust him and put our faith in him. And just like a little child trusted his mom and his daddy, Lord, for the food and for the clothes and for the place to stay. With that childlike faith, we learn to lean on Jesus more and more and more. As we started out, we had to lean on him. As we go on, we got to lean on him. And I'm convinced the closer we get to the goal line and the older we get, the more we've got to lean on Jesus. And the more we've got to learn to trust him. And the more we've got to get God to help us to perfect that which is lacking concerning our faith. And that God would help us to believe him more and more and more for the glory of God. Amen. We learn, and it's in the text, you don't have to read. We learn to overcome our fears when we are in the secret place. Not only that, we learn to fear him when we're in the secret place. We learn to place our fear in the right place. We got so much misplaced fear in our day. We fear what people think about us, what they say about us. Amen. They've been a few times. They've taken what I've said while I was preaching out of context, and they have taken little quips and put it on these foolish TikTok videos. And brother, I think JP was telling me here a while back, I got one on there. It's got 3 million views on it. And they explained, and you know what that does? I said, Lord, I don't want to go through that again. And it causes me sometimes to hold back. But tonight, I feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. That crowd can go suck an egg as big as a watermelon. I don't care what they say, what they think. Our God's bigger than they are, bigger than they ever thought about being. Amen. We need not fear what man can say or do unto us. Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And brother, we're on the way inside. God is, boy, I tell you, we got the favor of God tonight. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down tonight? Hey, man, we learned these things. But then, man, we have looked at briefly, and I don't even want to use the word study, the person that seeks the place, a plan to stay in the presence of God. I like to pray going down the road, don't you? Sometimes, Brother Gary, that's about, sometimes time fails us, and that's about sometimes the only option we have, but it's better than nothing. And I like to pray going to the revival meetings. I like to pray, Lord, driving down the road. But I tell you, there ain't nothing like sacrificing a little bit of time and going somewheres and getting on my knees. I never thought I'd ever have to preach this, but I felt impressed to God here a while back as a man in a meeting I was in. But I'd say, let's get on our knees and let's pray. And one I'd notice he'd come and sit on the front row, him and his wife. They were on up in years. And boy, one night the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you need to preach to them a little bit. And I said, I know some of yous are getting old and you can't get on your knees anymore. But you sit on the front row. All you got to do is tell God, Lord, I can't physically get on my knees anymore, but in my heart I'm on my knees. And oh, glory, you talk about helping that fella out. He said, man, I've been needing to hear that. I felt so bad because I couldn't bow anymore. I said, just bow in your heart, neighbor. God honors it. God looks at it. God will hear what you got to say. Amen. There's a plan to stay. But then there is, and boy, I want to emphasize this, there is the position of the sovereign. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the what? Of the Most High. Oh, glory to God. Boy, to me and you personally, man, I know the Bible teaches us scripturally that God is high and you can't get no higher than he is. Just ask Satan how that worked out for him. He tried to get above the throne of God. He got full pride, and I think he had 5 I wills that never went anywhere. And I'm glad the I wills of the great I am will go with us all the way to glory, but the I wills of Satan failed him. I know the scriptures say that, but here's my, I know the scriptures say he's high. He's holy. He's to be honored. Amen. But I'm asking me, and I'm asking you tonight, what kind of position does God have in our hearts tonight? How high is he in your heart? Can you say, up without any reservation, without any doubt, that God is number one in my life, and Jesus is most high? Amen. And I honor him. How high is God to you? I never dare, by the grace of God, bring God down to my level. Bring God down to our level. That's foolish. That's what old brother Doug Rain said it good. He said that's what he don't like about the contemporary music movement and the music. He said they're bringing a high holy God down to their level. That ain't never going to work. But in our hearts, we have got to have a very high estimation of God. He's got to be number one. I remember as a little boy, we'd always try to figure out who was number one in our lives. And then we'd ask, who do you love the most? I'd always say, I love Jesus the most. Then they'd say, who do you love second, mom or dad? Well, I said, well, mama and daddy put them on the same line. And then you got brothers and aunts. It don't matter. As long as Jesus is at the top of a love list in your life. I was preaching in India about 10 years ago. And boy, those Indians over there in India, they would accept Christ. They would make a prayer. They would make a public profession. They'd even get baptized. But they wasn't getting saved. You want to know why? Because they would add Jesus to the list. I told them, you got to get rid of your list. You don't put him on the same level as a monkey god or an elephant god. Hey man, he's God, he's creator, he's Jehovah, he's Elohim. Hey man, he's most high. He has got to be high in our hearts. Amen. Higher than your job, higher than your popularity, higher than your looks, higher than our pride, higher than every bit of it. How high is God? How holy is he? He is, oh boy, oh, that's the essence of God right there is holiness. Amen. The great argument, I don't need to labor this, but the great, what is God's essence? The Bible said God is love, so that means his essence is love. God's essence must be light because the Bible said God is light. I submit to you tonight that God's essence is holiness and holy. Amen. And everything God has falls under that category of holiness. Amen. And I could use a simple English lessons tonight to prove that to you. Amen. It ain't a light holy, it's a holy light. It ain't a grace holy, it's a holy grace. It ain't a mercy holy, it's a holy mercy. Amen. It's a holy God. And brother, he is holy. He's pure. There's no sin. There's no darkness. There's no defilement. There's no trash. He is pure. Amen. That's our God. But how do we honor him in our hearts? Do we honor God in everything we do? Do we? Oh, let's move on. Amen. Next to tonight. Amen. Boy, the scripture, boy, we got to honor him, right? Oh, but then this next one, look at it. The Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Watch this next little word. It said, shall. Amen. It said, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at this. There's the promise of the word shall. I like those shall words in the Bible, don't you? He said, if you'll do your part, he'll do his part. Amen. And I understand the context. And get with me now. The book of Psalms is one writer called it the Hebrews hymn book. But brother, it wasn't just for the nation of Israel, even though there are some covenant promises that were just for Israel. But brother, we've got some conditional promises, amen, just for the church, and amen, for us in this day that we live in our hour. If we'll do our part, he'll do his part. I don't have time to labor them all, but I'm glad that word shall's in there. Amen, he's a promise-keeping God. Amen, he said if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we shall. It ain't a maybe, it ain't a think so. We shall dwell or abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a promise of God, a guaranteed from God. Amen. This is a promise. I like this one. This is a promise of ownership. It does it. I hope it don't bother you to make this statement. I am not my own. We are bought with a price. Do you know what that means? We are not our own. That means Jesus is not just my Lord, not just my Savior. God the Father is not just my Father. He is my owner. He bought me outright. He bought you outright. He paid a price on Calvary nobody else could pay. And we owed a debt that nobody else could pay. And with the blood of the covenant, that blood we sang about tonight, that blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins, that blood, thank God, how they paid the sin debt. It bought us and purchased us for the glory of God. Blessed be the name of God. There's the shells. I won't labor that one. Y'all could pick on me tonight about that one, girls, about me not putting too much meat on that bone, but I got it. I just didn't preach it, okay? Amen. But then nextly, amen, watch this. This one is the one that gets me. He said, the Most High shall abide under, watch this, the shadow of the Almighty. Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I've got a question here that baffled me when I was studying this today. Let me try my best to qualify the scriptures and satisfy my own questions concerning the shadow of God. Let me just briefly quote you a couple of verses. Hey, man, I've got to qualify this. We're not going to make any sense out of it. When the Bible says something like this, in him is no darkness at all. He is the light of the world. How in the world can the one that ain't got an ounce of darkness in him at all cast a shadow? I've got your answer. Are you paying attention? Are you listening? You want to know how he can do it? Because the Bible says he can. And that's good enough. Don't look at me like I got a booger hanging out of my nose. The Bible said he cast his shadow. Now let's move on. Amen. Amen. Hey, he didn't have no darkness in him. He's light. But you look up that word shadow. Do you know what one of the words in the definition is? Oh, glory to God. It is protection. And brother, when we're under the shadow of God and he hovers over us, amen, we're in that shadow. And the Bible said we're hid with Christ in God, and I'm glad God will hide us in them dark places and times up under his shadow that the enemy can't even see us. Amen. I'm just going to believe the Bible when it says I'm under his shadow, hid from the enemy. How big is this shadow that God has cast, the shadow, the protection of his, that's in the secret place, beloved. I hope I'm making sense to you tonight. This is in the text of the secret place, the protection. Oh, brother, I was reminded of it today. Probably every one of us heard this illustration. But years and years and years ago in Africa, there was a big brush fire, just a big old fire. And some of the villagers, after the fire had went through, they were walking through the burnt areas of where that fire had burnt the jungle and the woods up. And there was a mother hen out there in a nest. And she was bowed over and she was burnt to a crisp. And one of those villagers just went over there and he was just casually walking by and he kicked it. And when he kicked that mother hen, all them little chicks come running out from under that mother. And brother, I tell you what that mother hen did with a love of a mother that only a mother could have. She covered them little chicks up. And when that fire burned her back, and when that fire took her life, and when that smoke smothered her lungs out, those little chickens come up under her wings to trust, and she protected them from the fire. Oh, let me put it on our level tonight. There's a God in heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, amen, and took our sins and the sins of the whole world. Oh, glory to God. Amen. When he saved us, he covered us with his feathers. And he took a judgment of God on him. And thank God he protects us. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down tonight? He protects us. How many times should a smart aleck teenager going down the road doing 100 miles an hour should have hit us head on and killed us graveyard dead? God and one of our protecting angels that fear that those that camp around about them, the fear of the Lord, just kind of eased over and bumped in front of that car and pushed him to the other side of the road and said, not tonight. It's not his time. It's not her time. I don't care what nobody says. God protects those that fear him. Amen. What about Job? What about him? The only reason the devil could get to him is because God led him anyways. Oh, the protection of God. Boy, he's a God of safety, is he not? Oh, he keeps us safe on the job and keeps us safe on the roads and keeps us safe as we fly and travel, keeps you safe as you go from job to job. And all the times that we should have been in that gas station when they were getting robbed and people were getting killed, but God slowed us up and we couldn't make it. Amen. Oh, this is a secret place praying. But then, nextly, oh, look at this, his presence. That's what it's all about, ain't it? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His presence is most sweet. Do you ever just read the Song of Solomon? Oh, you ought to. That love story in the Old Testament. Oh, that comparison between Christ and his bride, Christ and his people. I like what she said when she went looking for him. She's talking about his mouth and his hair and his teeth and his nose and his countenance and all that. Brother Bishop, she finally said, well, you know what? It's hard for me to really explain him. He's so wonderful. Just let me go ahead and tell you, yay, he is altogether lovely. Oh, isn't his presence just sweet? Don't it? Well, we spend a lot of time getting troubled about different things, don't we? Do we not? And beloved, I tell you, God's presence can flush the troubles out. I preached on them Sunday night, you remember? God's presence can bring the peace in. God's presence can bring the purity in. Oh, there's all different things we could say, but one little thought right here. It's the intimacy. How close are we to God? Well, I shout at church. I didn't ask you if you shouted at church. I testify at church. I didn't ask you if you testified. I'm a member. No, we didn't ask those questions. The question is this: how close are we to God? John the Beloved, out of all the disciples, it was John, probably because he was the youngest of them. He outlived all of them, probably because he was the youngest, and probably in his early teenage years when Jesus called him to be a disciple, with no shame, with no reservation, laid his head on the bosom and the breast of Jesus Christ. One verse said he was leaning on his bosom. The next verse says he was leaning on his breast. That bosom is the inward part of God, the deity of God. The breast is the humanity, the outward part of God. And Job had an intimacy with Christ. Boy, don't you like it when your secret place gets so sweet that you get addicted to it? Have you ever been addicted to the secret place? Have you ever been addicted to prayer? We was over to camp meeting Monday night, brother Nathan was praying for the youth meeting coming up in June. praying God would bless us. Boy, and I got to looking around and I got to praying over the dormitories and over the B buildings and the A buildings. And boy, my mind went back to, it wasn't last year, year before last, when we lit out from up underneath the tabernacle. And we started and we prayed over every bed. And we went through and we prayed over the yellow building, the I building, the B buildings, the A buildings. Went up there and prayed over the entrance in the front. Brother Nathan, Brother Bishop was with us. Maybe somebody else was. And the closer we got to the end of that trail we was on, the sweeter it got. The sweet, sweet presence of God. I don't know about you, but I like it when it's sweet between me and my wife. I don't like a bunch of fussing and fighting. I don't like a bunch of divisions. I don't like that junk at church. I've been through enough fights at church that I've had my fill, okay? I don't want any more. If you're going to do something stupid and start a fight, just stop dead in your tracks and be quiet. Okay? We don't need that junk. We need to live our lives in such a way that the sweet presence of God is in our midst at all times. Maybe you've got a real literal closet in your home you go to. Maybe you go pray in your bathroom. Maybe you got a place outside. Maybe you've got a place in your bedroom when nobody else is in there and you like to pray. Well, I'm traveling, so I've learned down through the years when I'm by myself, my hotel room, that's my secret place. And there have been a few times I've had my wife with me. God's allowed us to enter into His presence together in prayer in the secret place. It is sweet. It's so sweet when you say, well, I got 30 minutes and I'm going to go spend the next 30 minutes of my time. I've got to go run some errands, go to the grocery store, but I got 30 minutes. I'm going to go pray. And when you get in there and it gets so sweet that 30 minutes ain't enough. And then you pray an hour and that ain't enough. And then, boy, next thing you know, oh my goodness, the grocery store's closing. I'm not going to make it today. We got saltines and peanut butter. That'll be all right, long as you got the presence of God. That'll be all right. Lastly, and I'm done tonight. Sister Paul, if you'd come, maybe you'd like to play that sweet hour prayer or something like that. My last point, the secret place. It's a place of secrecy. You know, there might be an occasion where you have to make the announcement. All right, I'm going to pray, everybody be, please. And you can't tell everybody to shut up because you'll grieve the Holy Ghost. Then you'll have to go back and apologize for telling everybody to shut up while you're trying to pray. So you be nice. It's raining outside, whatever. We're going to pray inside, so I'm going to go back here and pray. If y'all could move to this side of the house, just let me pray. But the secret to the secret place is keeping it a secret. I know God will tell us things sometimes in the secret place we might need to. But you know what I'm saying? That's what makes it so intimate. It's a secret. Sister Paula, you start playing whenever you're ready. I remember we're standing all over the building. I'm going to say this and I'm done. I remember when I first got saved and I was working in a paper mill. I couldn't wait for the 9 o'clock break. I had me a little spot over there where there wasn't nobody looking or watching. Nobody wasn't going to come, Brother Nathan, just me and Jesus. Lunchtime, head over. 3 o'clock break, head over. Sometimes just wonderful. Hey, if God's dealt with you about your secret place tonight, I'd like to invite you to come to the altar.